Good morning, Calvary Church family. Trust you're doing well. So good to have you in church today on this wonderful 4th of July weekend. Not so great for our boaters, because I see a number of you here and you have a little frown, because I know we live to be on the lake. But God bless you for being in the house of the Lord today. It is so good to be with our church family. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Last week, we made it to verse 14, and today we're going to start off in verse 15, and we've been learning from Paul, and that's the whole part about that boxing analogy video to lead us off, is the gospel he's declaring, and he's really, one of the neat things about Paul, and specifically in these last few verses that we saw last week, even to Peter, but he's challenging other Jews and false teachers who were Jewish, who had come along to try to confuse what the gospel really is. And Paul is challenging to them, and he's challenged Peter last week to stick to the true gospel. And Paul has gone throughout Galatia preaching the gospel. He's seen churches get started because so many people come to Christ. And he did that through a lot of personal sacrifice on his own part. But to see churches established, he had a real heart for people. He got to see people's lives literally become transformed. And then as he continues to travel on and then to hear about the false teachers, his heart is touched. And so this is a personal letter that Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. And so he's not holding anything back. And Paul is saying to them, he goes, look, when it comes to the gospel, if you add to the gospel, if you change the gospel, it is now a different gospel. And we're learning that if you have a different gospel, you have no gospel whatsoever. And so there's a part, and you might even be asking yourself, how can someone fall for something that's fake? You're like, man, how could they so easily fall and be taken in? And honestly, it can happen to any of us. I'll prove it. So I can think in the last year since we've lived here, I've kept this in my desk drawer to be a reminder of a lesson learned. So Pastor Stacy gets a text message that she forwards me that, hey, we could actually get our Spectrum bill at the parsonage cut lower. And so we're sitting there, Catherine's immediately going, and all you had to do was go get a Walmart gift card or a Target gift card. And I'm telling you, it sounded strange at the time. But then I'm looking at Stacy, do you think that's legit? Do you think it's real? And then we actually called, and it had all the phone prompts. I mean, they had everything, like different phone lines if you needed customer service. They had everything to the T. But immediately the moment, as I'm talking with the rep and I read off the gift card number and the PIN, we finished the call, but I'm just telling you, any value that was on here was gone. And you're just sitting there going, how? I mean, we're looking at each other for several days, weeks actually, going, how could we be so dumb? And you know those moments when things are too good to be true. And so there's parts, no matter the excuse, being too busy, too tired. And here's the deal. That's part of life for all of us, is it's so easy to be taken in. And that's what happened here to the church of Galatia, is these false teachers came in. And really what's amazing is there can be very little difference between the counterfeit and the real thing. And that's the part why Paul throughout scripture in his writings is encouraging believers, reminding them to be sober-minded, to have a clear mind so that we don't fall for the fakes. And so that when you hear this letter and Paul is coming out hot, he's not doing it really with a judgmental side, like, how can you be so stupid? But he's doing it from a heart going, don't miss it. And even when he was confronting Peter that we talked about last week, one of the toughest conversations he had to have. Here's Peter, the leader of the church. His name being renamed by our Savior, a name that meant rock. From being a weed, a reed that could be blown in the wind, his name to Peter, meaning rock. And Paul is even looking at him, as we looked at last week, going, you're falling. Peter, you're even falling for a fake. And challenge them to be sober-minded. So as we get into this passage today, what I want to do is I just want to work through this passage as we go through. We'll start off in verse 15 and then just make some take-home observations before we go. But Peter, as the leader of the church, Peter understood that he personally had experienced freedom. And that's part of my message today, is talking about grace and freedom. Because in Christ, when we give our hearts and lives to Jesus, our sin debt is forgiven. And other Jews began to pressure Peter and started to change his understanding and his commitment to freedom, whereby we can see a bigger picture. His reluctance, his acquiescence to the peer pressure started to change the message, even when the message wasn't being preached. It was being preached by his actions. And Paul is trying to pull Peter back, going, how can you do this? You've experienced it. And so let's walk through this passage, and that should encourage us to stand firm in the liberty and the freedom that comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ and not going back into a slavery of religion. And this is where we pick up verse 15. Look at it with me. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. See, this is Paul speaking, verse 16. Yet we know that Christ is not justified by works, that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have also believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. So here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, Peter, stop and think about this with me. You and I are Jews. We get the works-based religion. We understand that we had lived in a way that it was by how well you served and did your works is what would justify you before God. It's what we once believed. We dotted the I's. We crossed the T's. We understand. But then when it comes to these Gentiles who are innocently and openly giving their hearts to God through Jesus Christ alone, they're coming into this, they're watching their lives transformed. They don't get it. You're bringing your religion into a faith that has no place. And you're bringing traditions into a faith that has no place anymore. It's no longer about rules. It's about faith. And so basically, here's Paul as he starts to come back to this. And he's saying to Peter, stop trying to get the Gentiles to do what you and I know from a personal experience we could never do, ever do. And that is to be justified before God by our actions. So if you look at verse 16, and there's this thought, and you can see it, because it's being used here, the word justification, is being used in verse 16 three times. And when we'll get to verse 17, it's used one time there. And in justification, so in this passage that we have today, it's going to be used five times. And this is where we get the doctrine of justification that maybe you've heard about. And Paul is stressing this. And just to kind of help you, to help everyone understand, and just really, I guess, making sure that you can never be made right with God apart from receiving Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you by faith. If you don't have that understanding, you're going to miss the whole thing. And so let me give you a definition of justification, just to help make sure that we're all understanding. When Paul is talking here about being justified and justification, here's a great working definition. Justification is the gracious act of God, whereby he forgives the unsaved person's sin and imputes, credits, assign, however you want to put the verb there, God gives to them righteousness of Christ when through faith in Christ Jesus they believe. See, the doctrine of justification by faith says you can never, ever pay for it on your own. It's by what Jesus did for you and I. And we receive it by faith. You'll be justified before God. And justified, man, that is, it's meaning you're being made right. So here's God, our holy judge, and we are guilty. Like we're standing before God in that moment in our sin, there is no excuse that you could offer the bench that's going to get you off. Can you remember moments with your parents, for some of you? That you had moments when you know, okay, I goofed up here. And you maybe you're standing before a dad or a mom and you're like, and you know what? You try to be the charmer, but guess what? The charm isn't going to work. There's a part when we're standing before God in our sin, there is nothing apart putting ourselves at the mercy of God. And when we come to that part and just sit in faith and give ourselves and trust what Jesus has done, here's the amazing part. That gracious act of God, what he does when we ask forgiveness, Lord, I forgive me of my sin. And we throw ourselves at the mercy of God. One of the amazing parts is God then, when we're doing that in faith by what Jesus did on the cross for us, God imputes, he puts on, he covers. It'd be like putting a covering over this pulpit. He covers that the only thing that people could see is actually would be a reflection of Jesus. What God would see is Jesus and what Jesus' sacrifice is. See, that's a justification, and it happens that moment when we give our hearts, our faith to him. He comes in and does an incredible work, and it's incredibly beautiful. Look at verse 17. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. And I want you to look at this in the NIV because it gives a little different, the wording helps maybe bring some clarity in the NIV. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then it really, I would be a lawbreaker. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, if I embrace the grace and the freedom that is in Christ, if I participate in that, I'm going to be able to enjoy that. And so you can kind of follow what he's sharing here. And he's saying this really to the body of Christ, to the family of God. And Paul is sharing, look, I recognize that it's not my Jewish heritage, but it's the free gift of salvation for all who believe. It's for anyone who would come to Christ. And yes, even these Gentiles. And we all believe that. And what's amazing when you look at these parts is because there's actually another doctrine that kind of comes to light here. So if you're seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves in among the sinners. Doesn't that mean Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. Here's what Paul's sharing. Is there's a recognition at this point that when you give your heart to Christ and really you start to have such a realization at this moment of just how much of a sinner we are. How much we wrong him all the time. When you give your heart to Christ, it's one of those sensitivities. There's parts that you're just like, how does God love me? How can he actually justify me when I give my heart to him, but then immediately the moment I pray it, I could have a dirty thought in my head. How does God still forgive me? And this is the wonderful part, that in that moment, when you put your heart and your faith in him to lead and guide your life, to be your Savior, one of the wonderful parts that God does is that very moment, the Holy Spirit is blessed into your life. And that's the part that convicts you. So when you have that thought, when you start to do things within moments later that day, all of a sudden you might be convicted where before you weren't convicted. Or maybe it's not as pleasurable and you're kind of like, why? And the Holy Spirit will work. See, there's another great theological word, fancy, just like justification. It's called sanctification, which is the ongoing work that God does in our life. There's an ongoing work. So here's the great thing. On the majors, our sin is forgiven. On the next parts of sin, God will continue till the day we die. The Holy Spirit will be at work, prompting us, speaking to us, convicting us, leading us to not make sure that we're not sinning. And also, it'll convict us of points if we're trusting in religious acts more than the faith. There'll be points that the Holy Spirit will start to convict us, going, yeah, it's great what you're doing, but do it in faith in me and watch what I will do. It's like the Big Serve next week. We're doing it. It's going to be an amazing act, but when we trust it to God, that it's not because we have talent in work skills, but it's surrendered unto him humbly, and you'll watch God take the simple and just an in trust. We just trust God will open doors that we can influence to keep sharing what he's done in our life. See, the grace that God has given us to be able to have a relationship with him, that grace brings incredible change, and it brings freedom to our life. We're not bound by religious traditions to have a relationship with him, to have a relationship that's vital, that's living, that's life-giving, that people will go, I want that. We have that the moment we put our faith and trust to him, because then we're on a faith adventure, and you watch what God will do, even in the midst of the sin that we still work through, that's part of our nature. And it's one of the wonderful adventures what God will do when we give our life to him in such a way, all of a sudden our business becomes not work, but it becomes part of a kingdom work that God wants to do through your business to help bring life, vitality to our community through your business. Your business isn't just a means of work. Now it becomes a means of ministry. Students, when you go to school, it's not a place that I have to go, but it's a place that God gets to plant you, that as you work out this faith, watch God give you relationships that you can begin to share with other people about what Jesus is doing in your life and the freedom that you can have and the freedom you do experience, because you don't have to live your life like the rest of your school is, who's looking for everything that you found. And they're looking in all the wrong places. And so Paul here is reminding Peter, we've experienced freedom. Why would you want to go back? And this freedom isn't so that it's promoting sin, that it brings sin to such a consciousness that it feels like all we're done is we're stuck in a cycle of sin. And Paul is making sure, look, this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about if religion was our means of getting close to God. And he goes, if we did that, he goes, what I built up, he goes, what I destroyed. In other words, what Paul is sharing by destroying down all the traditions of what the Jews had done through the law, he goes, really, I would be the biggest lawbreaker. Look at verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. Paul is saying, I've died to that way of thinking that I have to do religious acts in order to be to God. I have died to that. I've died to that way of living, and I've put it behind me. And so Paul is challenging Peter to be reminded of the same. And he says this in verse 20, and it's really a pivotal moment in this book. He goes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, there's a gospel right there in the nutshell in verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ, that it's no longer I who live. I give my life to him in faith. And it's so amazing that the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in him who loved and gave himself for me. That's the gospel message. And that's what Paul so eloquently stated in one verse, in those sentences right there. He is putting the gospel forefront and reminding Peter, reminding the Galatian church, that when Jesus was on the cross, he was paying our sin debt for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And what's so amazing is he reached into the future when you and I were born. Jesus on the cross reached into the future before we were ever a thought. And he would live a life that would pay for our disobedience, for our sin. He paid for it all. And that's the amazing part of our Savior. And see, this is what the gospel is all about. It says, watch how close I am that I can live to him. And see, what's amazing is you have false teachers in our Christian circles today that sometimes it's easy for a different message to get preached. Watch how close I can live this life and still get away with what I can get away with. Because you know what? Demons believe in Jesus. Scripture says it. They believe in who he is. See, I can go to church. I'm a religious person. False religions have a lot of common characteristics. It may look legit, but it's a totally different destination that we have. And so if you're in a situation today, and maybe I'm, you know what, there's parts, I'm sure, I might be making someone, whether you're here or watching online, a little guilty. And that's not the intent, is to make you feel a guilt trip. But here's my challenge to you, is how you live your life in faith in Jesus is what it's all about. It's not about, have I been paying my tithes? It's not if you're going to be a part of the big serve. It's not about singing on the worship team. It's not about serving in a ministry like in the nursery. It has all these things. Is what are you, where is your faith? What are you trusting in? And this is where Paul brings us back in this incredible passage today that should be a great challenge to us today and a great reminder. Let me do this real quick. I want to bring you John Stout, a great theologian, shared these words. And in fact, they were so good, rather than trying to restate them, I felt like, you know what, I'll let John Stott's words be anchored to this today. So I'll quote him. He brings, as he recounts our passage today, I want you to be able to take these four takeaways of what we're reading here today and four truths about verses 15 through 21. It says this, first, our greatest need is justification or acceptance with God. See, our greatest need today, and it's easy to have needs when you think of needs. Immediately, some of it we go material, some of it will go big, even on that scale. But our greatest need is justification, is to be accepted to God. How do I have acceptance with God? How am I received? How can I be received to him? Secondly, justification is not by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. There is nothing we could ever do on our very best day, our very best efforts, our very most perfect day would still never be enough. That's why we must, by trust and faith in what Jesus Christ did. And which leads to the third one is, capture this, not to trust in Christ Jesus because of self-trust is an insult to both the grace of God and to the cross of Christ. for it declares both to be unnecessary. The moment we think we could go on our own merits, our own efforts, hey, I'm a good person, which you probably are. That's why we like you. You might be a great person, a great friend, but when we're talking about justification and a connection with God, if you're not trusting in Christ Jesus alone, you're missing it. And that's the part I don't want you to get spooked or led astray by something fake. I want you to have the real thing, a real life that begins at Calvary. The very moment you give your heart to Him, it's what He does from the inside out. And fourth, capture this fourth principle from John Stott: to trust in Christ Jesus and thus to become united to Him is to begin an altogether new life. I want you to know that new life. A new life that isn't bound by an image you have to keep up. An image, a life that you feel like I have to live, then I have to live perfect in order to have a relationship with God. No. And that's where Paul was saying. And that doesn't mean that you're stuck into a life now of sin. It's like, by faith, trust what Jesus did on the cross and walk that out. Watch Him as you continue to let Him lead. Let Him be your Savior. Watch the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Will convict you of your sin and you'll keep growing. And you'll watch God use you and walk with you in an incredible way. Let's go to our last verse and I'll wrap this up. Verse 21. Worship team, if you'd come. Verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. So here's what he's saying. Are you saying you're good enough? If I could do enough to be able to earn my way to heaven, then Christ Jesus dying on the cross was all in vain. And it didn't even need to happen. And that's kind of where Paul's going. He goes, listen. And so I just say, listen to me this morning, friends. You should never be deceived. Don't think of anything other than Christ Jesus and what He did, and what He did to pay the price for our sin. Because without what Jesus did, we would be forever dead in our sin. He paid the price once and for all, and that's what He did. He did not come unnecessarily and live a sinless life. He came with a mission that we would be able to know God. He didn't unnecessarily lay down His life. He did it with you in mind. He was not unnecessarily nailed with His hands and His feet to a cross. It was not for no reason that He died. See, the purpose behind it, and it's that reason, it's that purpose, it's that meaning, is that there was a God who thought of us at our worst moment. He loves you. He loves me. He loves each person on the planet He loves. And He wants to have a relationship with us. And that ongoing relationship is, as we are justified by faith, as we sit there and we walk out that life of faith, we just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And in that humbleness, we keep saying, God, lead me. Keep being with me. And that relationship that He will give will help us have an assurance that we won't fall for something fake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank You for Your Holy Spirit in this place today. And God, we thank You for Your word. Help us, oh God, to be alert today. Father, I just pray that You will just continue to help each of us to kind of evaluate our faith, evaluate our life. Where are we at with You? Lord, I just thank You that You love us so much that You would not leave us in a precarious place to be caught off guard by our sin. God, You have made a way so that we can have a relationship with You. not just forgiveness of sin, but God, a relationship with you. And Father, I pray you will continue to teach us, God, as a church, to be dependent on you, to depend on the work of the Holy Spirit. God, the giftings, the gifts you want to impart people in this church, God, will just, God, the work that you want to do. But God, it starts in this moment right here that God, we become sensitive to that still small voice of your Spirit that's speaking to us today, that's prompting us to come back to that moment, just like in verse 20, where God, where Paul begins to declare, he speaks that I've been crucified with Christ. So God, I pray, help us to crucify our will, to crucify our performance, God, to crucify traditions, crucify our reputation, crucify our bank accounts. God, anything that we would put greater trust on than just in you and what Jesus did on the cross for us. Help us, oh God, to submit ourselves, to crucify ourselves in such a way. And Father, I just pray for those here today that, Father, are unsure where they stand with you. God, I pray right now that you will just let them know, let them feel an assurance from your Holy Spirit that you're drawing them, you're speaking to them right now, right where they're at, and you haven't forgotten them, that you love them, that you have your eyes on them. Lord, I pray this, pray your blessing in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, I have to ask this morning. If you're here today with your head bowed and you're just unsure, as you evaluate your heart, what have you been trusting in to get you to heaven? Has it been a church membership, being a good person, whatever it might be? If it's not been Jesus Christ alone, you need to make a change to the gospel that Paul was talking about, which is by faith in Jesus Christ alone, nothing else, nothing else. So with every head bowed today, if you're here and maybe for the first time, you need to make this decision, or maybe it's you found yourself walking away from that relationship with Christ today. The great news is there's a God who has not given up on you. And if you need to rededicate yourself to him today, or maybe for the first time, give your heart to him in him alone, I just want you to look this way. I just want to pray with you. If that happens to be you, thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Wonderful. If that's you today, and I want to invite everyone to pray this prayer with me, because how we give ourselves to Christ is really a heart of prayer. It's a step of faith, but it's expressed as a prayer. So pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. This prayer are the words from my heart to you. Forgive me of my sin, trying to live life my own way. My own way. Forgive me. Come into my life. Lead me. Be my Savior. I trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me alone. Come into my life, change me, transform me, give me that new life in you, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I would actually encourage you to do one big favor, if you would. There's a communication card on the bulletin that you could write down your name and that you prayed that prayer to this morning, or in the seat back in front of you, there's a QR code, and you can enter your information that way. Because here's the deal why we do this every single week is we look at our, Pastor Stacy and I, Pastor Aaron, we're not just pastors in that sense. We want to be shepherds. We want to help you walk that new relationship. And so if you need a Bible, anything that we can do to help you, that's why we ask you. We want to help you to walk and get strong in this relationship so that you keep walking in it and you don't get fooled by fakes. No matter the form that they come in, even if it's a stupid Target card, God wants to give a genuine thing to you today and walk you in that. So please do so.